Welcome to the Performance Recipe Podcast with me, Richard Stewart, a performance nutritionist and personal trainer. We all know we can get tangled amongst the facts and fads on social media, and so the purpose of this podcast is to bridge the gap between science and practice by having industry experts on all topics performance related. I became a performance nutritionist because of my background in Michelin star restaurants and being a personal trainer, bridging the gap between food and fitness. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome to episode 2 of the Performance Recipe Podcast. Next up, we have Bernardo Lopez, co-owner of Fit for Life Academy, as well as an expert in body recomposition. So that's gaining muscle whilst dropping off body fat. We talk about everything from resistance training programming all the way to fat loss and all about nutrition.
Hi, Bernardo. Thank you so much for coming on to this podcast. I do appreciate it so much. I've been a massive fan of your stuff for absolutely ages. But if you can just talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how you got to where you are today.
Thank you so much, man. It's honestly a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for the invitation. And well, I'm Bernardo. I am a fitness coach, and I would like to call myself an educator through social media, probably. Not mentor, but educator on social media, for sure. So, I'm a personal trainer. I'm a certified MNU nutritionist, and I have my master's degree in body composition improvement. And I mainly focus on providing educational resources to people online and on helping people gain muscle, lose fat through my one-on-one coaching services.
Absolutely. And you're really good at it. All evidence-based. Absolutely love it. So I just want to ask you a bunch of questions that I get from my clients, and also some questions I'm genuinely interested in as well. And then if you could just roll off the top of your head. So starting off with the first question, I just want to ask you, can you explain the concepts of muscle hypertrophy and how you achieve it? And what exactly is hypertrophy?
Okay, basically hypertrophy is the increase in the muscle cell, getting your muscles bigger. Right? That's hypertrophy. As simple as that. How do you achieve that? Okay. So it's going to be mainly like the main thing that will cause the muscle to grow is going to be resistance training. And that means going to the gym or calisthenics or bodyweight workouts, whatever is making your body work hard. Okay. And we can get into the details of actually what you need to do because it's not only going to the gym. There's a lot of people that go to the gym and don't gain muscle. That's the main aspect, but there are other nutritional lifestyle factors that will get into this. But the main factor will be the resistance training. That's the most important thing to achieve, to be able to achieve muscle gain.
Okay, fantastic. So when you're saying resistance training, how do you differentiate between, is that, you always hear about progressive overload all the time, and then you hear about strength training. Is that the same thing, or how does that work with hypertrophy?
Yeah, resistance training and strength training are synonymous. You could say it's the same thing. But based on what are you trying to achieve, it could be different. What do I mean with this? You can train resistance training for different goals. Strength, muscle gain, / hypertrophy, to become a better athlete. So strength training could be like a part of resistance training. When it comes to hypertrophy, it's a little bit difficult to other disciplines or to just the strength, for example, powerlifting, right? Or weightlifting. It's a little bit difficult, different. Okay. So there's certain components or checks that you want to check in order to know that, okay, this is efficient, for muscle growth. If you want, we can go like through that route and what do you need to do specifically in the gym to get to that muscle building process?
Yeah, exactly. So this is exactly what I go into. It's not just about hypertrophy. I also want to go into fat loss. But you literally started hitting the nail on the head when it comes to my next question, actually, which was, what would you say are the most effective training techniques for building muscle? And you're talking about obviously hypertrophy. And like I said, I want to go into fat loss as well at some point. So if you can also talk to me about how hypertrophy can be put in the context of changing body composition as well. And how do we achieve a body composition? What is a change of body composition?
Okay, perfect. So a couple of questions there. The first one, the more broad, it's going to be body composition. How do you improve body composition? Actually, what's body composition, right? It's going to be basically the amount of muscle mass and fat mass that you have, right? How do you look? How fit do you look in normal people, a person's term, right? So body composition would be that. How much muscle mass you have, how much fat mass you have. And improving body composition basically means gaining muscle and getting leaner, losing fat, right? And going now to the specific part of training techniques to gain muscle, okay? Instead of techniques, I like to see like variables. Okay, what do you need to do in the gym to gain muscle? What are the main variables? Okay, there's going to be a couple of things. Training volume, which is how much work do you do? Training intensity, how hard are you training? And then like the next one will probably be a exercise selection and execution, your technique. Okay, so in my opinion, these are the three main things. There are a lot of other things that, of course, are important, but these are the three main things. When it comes to volume, based on the research, we know that to maximize muscle building, we want to train with around 10 to 20 sets of per muscle group per week. Okay, that's what the research tells us. Now, that's to maximize. That doesn't mean you cannot gain muscle with less. Actually, we know that with probably around 6 to 8 sets, you can get around 60% of that optimal volume, right? So actually 4 to 6 sets. So you can actually gain muscle with less, but if you want to maximize and see the best results, 10 to 20 tends to be the sweet spot, right? This is, of course, based on the individual, the recovery capacity, time. Maybe you cannot go to the gym every single day. Maybe you can get it 3 times. So a training program will take all of these into consideration, but on average, 10 to 20 sets. When it comes to intensity, how hard should you train? Based on the research, we know that probably 3 reps in reserve, like before hitting failure and closer to failure, is the most efficient way of training. That doesn't mean that if you leave 5 reps in the tank, you're not going to grow. But if you want to maximize things, probably 3, 2, 1 are the sweet spot, right? Some people say like you have to train to failure. Not necessarily. Research now tells us, and we have a really good paper from Martin Refalo from Australia, showing that you don't need to train to failure. If you leave 2 to 1 reps in reserve, it's probably going to be the same results, right? I'm not saying that failure does not have its place, but you shouldn't train to failure every single time, as some people say on the internet, right? And then exercise selection and execution. Well, selection is going to be a little, like another topic, but when it comes to execution, there are certain things that we want to take care of, right? One will be range of motion. We want a big range of motion. Like if you think like a squat, most people only go down to parallel. We probably want to go past parallel, of course, if your mobility allows it, but you want to get the greatest range of motion you can. Stretch that muscle the most that you can. And that's actually the most important part of the range of motion, the stretch, right? Then the second thing is probably control. Like you don't need to go 10 seconds on the way down, but you want to control the movement, right? You want to control the negative portion. And then when you push hard, you want to push hard, but in a controlled way. So those are the main two things when it comes to a technique. If you just start doing this, like, okay, for every single muscle group, around 10 sets per week, okay? If you train hard enough, close to failure, 3 reps in the tank or less, and if you have a good range of motion and control, you're already 80% there. Like, you're already in the good direction. Then exercise selection, you can get super nerdy and techniques that can enhance muscle growth, but this is like probably 80% if I have to give a number.
Wow, what an answer. That's the best answer I've heard in such a long time. So diplomatic as well, because on social media you get a lot of different information. I like to read a lot of research as well. I like to read a lot of research that you put out, and that was a very diplomatic answer, because there's people for high volume, low volume, but like you said, rest overload, training intensity, volume. That's what it comes down to, like you said, at least 80%. So obviously that's now the exercise selection. You're talking about the intensity, but now can we move on to the nutrition side of things? Like you said, you study through MNU, and I've been to a couple of their like conferences. Absolutely fantastic. Massive fan of Martin McDonald as well. So if you can talk a little bit more about nutrition side of it now, because you executed that beautifully. So what role does nutrition play in muscle building and fat loss? And what would you say are the key dietary components?
Okay, yeah, fantastic question. So let's tackle first fat loss, which is going to probably be a little bit more simple. So in order to lose fat, the most important thing, like the one condition that you need is to be in a calorie deficit, meaning you need to eat less calories than you burn. Like, you can eat whatever you want, but if you're in a calorie deficit, you will lose fat. You can eat super clean, like chicken breast and brown rice your whole life. If you're not in a calorie deficit, you won't lose fat. So it's the only condition that we have to lose fat, right? Being in a calorie deficit. Now, that's one part. How do you achieve that calorie deficit is also important, right? With, if it fits your macros and that wave that we had probably 10 years ago until a couple of years ago, most people said, okay, just eat whatever you want, track your calories, and that's it. You will lose fat. Yeah, but it's not going to be the most efficient way of doing things, and probably it's not going to be the easiest way, which is probably what most people want. They don't want to put a lot of effort. If you can get to the same result with less effort, it's probably going to be a more easy journey, right? So then it comes the nutrients and your diet overall, right? So first, calorie deficit. The second thing for, and this will apply for both muscle building, but we will talk about that in a second, fat loss, your protein intake. It's going to be super important. Two main reasons. The first one is, with a high protein diet, you can actually maintain the muscle that you have. You don't want to lose weight. You want to lose fat.
Yeah.
If you lose all of your muscle, you won't look any different, right? In terms of how fat you look. So you want to make sure that from the weight, the majority is coming from fat, okay? Of weight loss. Protein will help us achieve that, right? The second thing is satiety, okay? Protein has a high satiety effect. If you're eating enough protein, and we can get into the numbers in a second, you're probably going to have less hunger during your diet. The second most important part will probably be vegetables and fruits. For both reasons, for two reasons as well. One, health. You want to lose fat, but probably in a healthy way, right? If you eat Snickers and that's everything you eat, you're probably going to lose weight if you're in a calorie deficit. No, you're actually going to lose weight if you're in a calorie deficit. You're not going to have a healthy diet or lifestyle, right? So you want to eat enough fruits and veggies to support health. The second reason, satiety. Both fruit and veggies offer a high satiety because of the fiber and because of the volume. It's a high volume food with little calories, right? Low calories. So you can eat a whole plate of veggies and it's going to be probably 50 to 100 calories and feel satiated. Again, making things easier on your journey, right? So those are the main things. Then when we have talk about carbs and fats, they also play a role, but to a way less significant way. We want to have enough carbs that we support energy, in this case, to our workouts, if you want to improve your overall body composition. Going keto is probably not going to be the most efficient way if you want to maximize your body composition. But also, you don't want to neglect the fats because for health reasons, you need fats. For example, for hormonal regulation. If I have to put it in order, like in terms of nutrients, that's it. Protein and veggies, the same level, and then carbs and fats below. Because if you eat just like an adult, you don't have to actually worry too much about your carbs and fats. Because if you eat like a balanced diet, it's going to be covered. So the main thing will be calorie deficit, protein, and veggies. That's for fat loss. For muscle building, it's practically the same with the main difference of the calorie intake, okay? If you want to gain muscle, being in a deficit is not the most efficient way. You can gain muscle in a deficit. A lot of people say, no, that's impossible. No, yeah, you can gain muscle in a deficit. Probably higher chances for beginners and overweight people with high body fat percentage. But that doesn't mean that if you are a leaner person and advanced, you cannot see results. The thing is, it's going to be way less efficient. If you want to make things efficient for muscle building, you want to be at least at maintenance or in a slight energy surplus, meaning eating a little bit more calories than you burn. That's going to help you maximize muscle building. Protein intake is probably pretty similar. There are some differences there, but if you meet the minimum recommendation on both cases, you're going to see good results. And in this case, I do think that carbs have a little bit of more importance, not crucial, but a little bit more importance because you want to make sure that you're fueling your workouts with enough carbs, right? So those are the main things in terms of like hierarchy and what you need to understand when it comes to nutrition for body composition.
Mate, beautiful. Round of applause. What an answer. Absolutely fantastic. Honestly, like, I hope my clients are listening to this because it's exactly what I preach. Okay, so honestly, thank you. That was beautifully said, and so detailed as well, and articulated perfectly.
Thank you.
Just a quick break. If you find this information useful, please like, subscribe, and send this to a friend. Otherwise, let's get back to the conversation.
I just want to say next up, so got the nutrition down. We understand the difference between hypertrophy and like dropping body fat. So that's how the body composition changes happen, obviously. So now I want to talk a little bit about free weights versus machines. What's your opinion on what are the benefits and drawbacks of different types of resistance training involving these two different movement patterns?
Okay, perfect. None is good or bad. That's super important to mention, right? They are tools and both have its purpose. In a well-designed program, both will be probably necessary if you want to maximize muscle building. I also want to say with both, you can build a lot of muscle. If you say like, I hate free weights, okay, with machines, you can maximize muscle building. Yes, still the way around as well. But if you want to make things the best possible way, most programs should probably have a component of both. Main benefits and cons of both, let's go with free weights. Free weights, most cases are going to be targeted more muscles at the same time with compound movements, right? Compound movements basically involving multiple joints working different muscles. That's the main thing, super beneficial. The second thing when it comes to free weights, it's going to be a little bit easier with the progressive overload thing, meaning you can add 2.5 pounds per side on your squat, and it's, if you're squatting 150 pounds, or, well, in your case, let's say if you're squatting 70 kilograms, you can add 5 kilograms total. It's not going to be a lot. The jump from one weight to another is not going to be a lot. So it's something you can actually progress every week or every other week, something like that, right? With machines, you cannot select specifically how much weight you want to increase because they have preloaded things, right? So sometimes the jumps are a little bit higher. So when it comes to free weights, those are the main benefits, okay? When it comes to machines, what are the main benefits? Stability, okay? Machines offer you something that free weights won't ever offer you, and it's a lot of stability. And in the context of hypertrophy, stability is super important because you can make sure that the targeted muscle, the muscle that you want to grow with that specific exercise or the muscles, is actually the limiting factor, is the one that is going to get the most stimulus, right? So let me give you an example. Barbell back squat is a fantastic exercise. Okay, you can grow your quads. But because of the less stable environment, you have to involve a lot of lower back, a lot of core. Your glutes will be heavily involved, right? Technique, once you start approaching failure, it's a little bit more difficult to maintain proper technique, like technique integrity. You can start like moving other muscles, moving the bar to one side. It doesn't mean that it's bad. It has its place. But with machines, that won't happen, right? Machines, you just move from point A to B, and you just focus on pushing as much as you can, and you will target the muscles that you should be targeting, right? Now, drawbacks of the machine. What I mentioned, probably when some machines won't allow you to slightly increase weight and you have to make big jumps, which make it a little bit difficult to progressive overload over time. And also, not all machines are well designed. And a lot of machines require a different setup or is not going to adjust to your structure, right? So there are a lot of machines in my gym, for example, that I have never used because they are or shitty machines or for my structure, I cannot use them. And in that case, free weights is going to be way better option, right? So both have pros and cons. You should probably use both in your program. And the last thing that I will say, free weights usually are better suited for lower repetition ranges. Machines are probably better suited for higher repetition rep ranges. That's basically it.
Such a good point, that last point. Yeah, obviously the higher the volume, the more fatigue you start to get, that's when your form starts to go off. Machines for higher rep ranges. That makes complete sense. But again, beautifully said, like perfect. That honestly, like, thank you so much for coming on again. Because everything that you're saying is, I think what so many people just get confused with, when it comes to social media, you see all these different workouts and people forget it's all about context. and about relevance? Is it in the context of what you're trying to achieve? Is it relevant to you? Like, just because one person doesn't like an exercise doesn't mean you're not. And also you're talking about exercises that if you like doing a certain movement, you're going to do a lot better on that movement, whether it be free weight or machine. If you don't like it, probably not going to, you probably just skip it at the gym if it's a bit busy.
Or you just
don't do it at the end of the day. And what's the point? Okay. So yeah, thank you for that. Perfect. Next question is, how should someone adjust their training and diet as they age to continue building muscle and losing fat?
So as you grow older, it's probably going to be the same thing. Like, not a lot of changes. When it comes to the diet, it's the same principles apply. There is this big myth that after 30, 40, whatever, your metabolism slows down. No, it doesn't. Your life still changed and you're way more sedentary. That's what actually happens, right? Your metabolism starts slowing down after 60, 65 years old. And it doesn't mean that you need to change your diet or you need to do something specifically to boost your metabolism. It's the same principle. Now you're just spending a little bit less calories than before, which actually means you should be eating a little bit less calories than before if you want to continue losing fat. That's basically it. When it comes to training, we can say that there could be some changes. And doesn't mean that you have to do this, but if you want to play it smart, it makes sense to do some changes as you grow older and older and older. For example, probably for most people, when they do a program, they focus, okay, the big compound movement first because it's the one that is more fatiguing, and then the isolation movement. And that's a really good reasoning. It doesn't mean that you always need to do it like that. But for example, for other people where joints are not probably in the best way possible, right? Probably doing an isolation movement where you pre-fatigue a muscle can be a really good idea, because then you can get to the compound where you are actually lifting a ton of weight compared to the isolation, and your muscles are already fatigued. So you will probably do or less reps, or to the same or to do the same reps, you should use less weight, right? So there's some things that you can adjust as you grow older, but if I'm being honest, I would say 95% of how you train is not going to change, or even more. Maybe your recovery capacity slows down, right? Maybe you cannot recover a lot. Okay, just adjust the volume to what you can currently recover. Again, it's not about training techniques or you should be doing this exact number of sets. It's about adjusting the training variables that you have to your circumstance, right? Because maybe this older person has been training for 25 plus years and it's in best shape than both of us. Maybe he doesn't need to change anything. He can continue working out the same way.
Yeah. It's all about managing fatigue, no matter what age you're at. Whatever volume you can handle, whatever you can do just to recover. Just recovery is super important. And people think that training every day is probably the best idea, and it's really not. Depending on how you feel is definitely a good way to indicate. So something else I wanted to ask about is around people sometimes get very confused about how to maintain a diet or how to maintain muscle building, especially as a beginner. So what would you say to a beginner who is trying to come into the gym and build muscles? What kind of routine are they looking at? Should they be going to classes? Should they be changing up the workout very frequently? What would you say to an absolute newbie trying to come into the gym and do a body recomp?
Okay, so completely newbie, probably go to the gym 3 to 4 times per day. You probably don't need more. Okay. If you want to do more, you can, but it's not necessarily. And a lot of people think like, okay, if I go and I actually kill my muscles, I'm going to grow faster. No, you're probably not going to recover properly from that. You will be in pain and you will hate the experience. If you're a newbie, try to get there the minimum amount of times that you need to. So you're enjoying, you're not hating the process, and don't try to focus on getting super sore because you're going to hate it. And most people stop going to the gym because they go for the first time, they cannot walk for 1 week, and they say, okay, I cannot do this, right? Go there and probably do full body sessions or upper and lower sessions, right? Where you do 2 to 4 sets per muscle group on each session. That's going to be more than enough. Try to focus on technique. That's going to be the most important thing. Don't focus on training super hard. You don't need to right now. When you're a newbie, anything you do will help you. right? Focus on technique, on nailing the movement. If you can hire a coach, fantastic, way better, because they're going to guide you to how to perform the movement. If they have a fitness instructor in the gym, ask them how to perform the exercise. So that's the main thing. Don't try to do fancy stuff. Just go there and focus on getting better every single time that you go. When it comes to the program itself, try to follow a program doing the same exercises every single week for at least 8 weeks, at least. Then you can change it. You don't need to, but maybe you also want to start learning technique from other exercises. So, for example, these first 8 weeks, you did barbell back squat and a leg extension. Okay, next time, do a leg press and a leg extension. The next program, do a hack squat and the leg extension, whatever. Try to mix up things, but you don't need to change things every single week. That's probably not the best idea, because you won't be able to practice technique, which is going to be the most important thing, and you won't be able to see if you're actually improving and increasing reps or weight over time, which is the most important thing to know, that you're building muscle. Your performance is improving over time. Stick to a program at least 8 weeks, and if you want to change because you got bored, okay, then change some things and do the same all over again.
Amazing. So let's say someone comes into fat loss and muscle building and they find themselves like just hitting a plateau and they starting to lose motivation. What do you say to someone who's encountering that situation?
Okay, so the main thing will be your expectations. When it comes to muscle building, unless you are 20 plus years of training, you won't hit a plateau unless you're doing things like really, really bad. But if you're following a program, if you're training hard, you won't hit a plateau. What actually happens is that your progress gets way slower, okay? The first year of training, you will increase your weight on the bar, in the dumbbells, everything's going to be amazing. After that, it gets a little bit slower. 2 years later, it gets even slower. So manage your expectations. I know that the first few months, it's magic, and then it's going to be way slower, right? You don't need to change things. Okay, I hit a plateau. No. Yeah, you probably want to change exercises every now and then. If you hit a plateau in a specific exercise because you have been doing that for 4 months and you're not increasing weight, okay, just change the exercise to another exercise that targets the same motion, the same muscle, so you can start over again with increasing weight over time and reps. That's when it comes to muscle building. When it comes to fat loss, that's another story. You will hit a plateau. At some point, your body will adapt and you will hit a plateau. When that happens, the only thing you can do is either decrease calories or increase your energy expenditure. Maybe more steps, maybe more cardio, maybe walking more at home, whatever. Just increasing your energy expenditure, your activity levels, or a combination of both. That's the only way of going out of a plateau on a fat loss phase. Now, the next question that we ask is it actually a plateau, or you stopped adhering to your diet? Has actually your adherence? Most people don't adhere to their diet for long term because it's difficult. I'm not gonna lie. You have to put the work in. And when you have social life and all that stuff, it's difficult to be adherent. So if you ask yourself, like, am I actually being adherent? No. Okay, why? Why is that lack of adherence happening? Most of the time, it's diet fatigue. People just got super annoyed from dieting and all that stuff. And if that's the case, my recommendation is, okay, one, evaluate if you want to continue losing fat. If the answer is yes, okay, take a 1 or 2 weeks break, eat more, focus on enjoying your life, and then say, okay, I enjoyed, I took a break, it's time to get back and try to be adherent away, again. That's what happens to most people. At some point in a fat loss phase, you will have plateau. That point, it's not probably going to be 1, 2, 3, 5 months from now. When you've hit a plateau in a fat loss phase, usually like an actual plateau will come from after 6 months of dieting or more. Like, it doesn't happen that often.
Amazing. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of people that struggle with that exact scenario. And I think you've just nailed about 90-odd% of people's issues when it comes to fat loss. So yeah, thank you. And then next thing I wanted to ask is about intermittent fasting, right? So everybody thinks just skip a meal and you'll drop off some body fat. Now, how effective can fasting be for muscle building and fat loss?
Okay, so first let's talk about fat loss. It can work. It's actually a valid strategy. It's probably not the best one for most people. Okay. So again, the only condition to lose fat is being a calorie deficit. Fasting will only make you lose fat if by skipping that meal or meals, you decrease your energy consumption. You're eating less, right? Now that's the deal. A lot of people start fasting, but food focus increases a lot. They start thinking on food the whole morning or night if they're doing fasting later in the day. But during that period, their food focus increases. Hunger also increases. And a lot of people, what ends up happening is that when they get the opportunity to eat their first meal, they actually eat way more than before. And at the end of the day, they end up consuming the same number of calories, right? If that's happening, fasting is not going to make you lose 1 gram of fat, okay? But it's a valid strategy. I have used that for myself. I am not super hungry in the morning, and when I'm in a fat loss phase, I don't eat as I usually do at 7 a.m. I fast until probably 10 a.m., something like that, because I can do that without a problem, and just makes my fat loss process a little bit easier, okay? We have some studies showing that people that have breakfast tend to have better hunger regulation compared to people that skip breakfast. So if hunger is a problem for you in a fat loss phase, probably having some type of breakfast will help you. Okay, you want to save some calories because your favorite meal is lunch or dinner. Okay, just have some protein meal and maybe some fruit in the morning, and you will get 200, 300 calories, save a ton of calories for later in the day, but you will be less hungry throughout the day, making things easier for you. That's for fat loss. Nothing magical, just a tool in the toolbox for people that can actually adhere to this and benefit from this, right? When it comes to muscle building, based on the research that we have, it doesn't matter if you're fasting, if you are not in a huge calorie deficit, and if you're consuming enough protein, in at least probably 3 meals, right? That being said, I am someone who thinks this way. If you can make things a little bit better and it has a benefit or a potential benefit, why not doing so if it is not costing you anything, like if it's not difficult for you? In theory, probably having some type of protein, not some type of protein, a little bit of protein in the morning can help you maximize muscle building, because you're not only fasting in the morning, you also fasted through the whole night of sleeping, right? Mm-hmm. You are degrading a protein, and you want to start the protein synthesis process, right? And if you're delaying that process until later in the day, 1 p.m., it's probably not going to be the most beneficial for muscle building. Now, again, this is probably my bias based on mechanistic things, but based on the research, you can actually skip a meal and it won't affect muscle building. If you don't mind eating something in the morning, a protein intake, probably do it, and it has some potential benefits, won't cost you anything.
Amazing, thank you. Again, like, brilliant advice. And I, like, anecdotally speaking now, with my clients, I prefer them to have a high protein breakfast if they are on a fat loss phase, simply because obviously it's down to context and whether or not some people just don't like eating breakfast, and it's like, fine, I'm not going to force them to do something you don't want to do. But if people have breakfast and then they say to me X, Y, and Z said on social media I shouldn't have breakfast because intermittent fasting is a good idea, I just say to them, well, calories are calories at the end of the day. As long as you're expending more than you're intaking, that's that. But breakfast can also increase your energy expenditure because you've now got energy.
Yeah.
So fuel for the work required. So I've got 5 minutes of your time left, just shy of it. So just want to hit out 2 quick questions. I think they're quite important, in my personal opinion, at least. So 1, how can one effectively track progress in muscle building and fat loss? Because a lot of people focus on the scales as an example. I just want to hear your opinions on that. And then recovery. How does sleep and recovery affect muscle building and fat loss?
Yeah, perfect. So the scale is a fantastic tool. It's only a tool. It's not everything, and it won't dictate if you're seeing progress or not. Okay. When you want to track progress both for muscle building and fat loss, you want to take to use more tools. The ones that I think are the best to use as a coach and the ones that I use with my clients are going to be the scale, because it can actually give you some data. Body measurements, like waist measurement, arms measurement, whatever, and progress pictures, okay? With only one of them, you're not going to be able to see if you're seeing progress objectively, okay? Body weight. You can actually be losing fat, but not losing a single kilogram, right? Why? Because maybe you're gaining muscle in the process. Or you're a woman and you are in your period and you're a little bit bloated, and that made you retain more liquids and you're a little bit higher in the scale that specific week. But you can actually see progress on the measurements and pictures. So you want to take, like, let's call it a holistic approach when it comes to tracking progress, not only using the scale, but also other methods that can help you confirm your theory of what's happening, right? For muscle building, I think the scale is a little bit more useful, right? Because you won't have like bad weeks that, oh, I lost a lot of weight without any reason. You can gain a lot of weight without any reason. For example, you didn't go to the bathroom, you ate more fiber, you had more salt in your diet. But when you're in a calorie surplus, the scale is actually pretty useful. But you still want to use measurements, specifically in my opinion, waist and pictures. Why? Because you want to make sure that that weight is coming from muscle. If you're gaining fat too fast, probably your training is not in a good spot. Can be the stimulus, can be the recovery. So you want to make sure to do that as well. Here's my general recommendation. When you're in a fat loss phase, take pictures every 2 weeks, right? Don't change anything if 1 week the scale didn't show any progress, because it can be that that week something happened, but the next one you drop a lot of weight. Don't change anything until you can confirm with measurements and progress pictures. Because if you actually see that, oh no, I can see that I have lost fat, I don't care about the scale in this case, right? For muscle building, same thing, but for progress pictures, I actually only ask my clients once per month, just to make sure that you are not gaining a ton of fat, right? And the reason is because when it comes to muscle building, you want to have a more conservative increase in body weight. When you're in a deficit, in a fat loss, you can see more changes in the scale a little bit more quickly. My recommendation is usually when you're in a fat loss phase, anywhere from 0.5 to 1% of your body weight per week. For muscle building, 0.25 to 0.5 of increase of body weight per week. So half of it, right? So it's going to be a little bit slower, because adding muscle tissue actually takes a long time, right? Losing fat doesn't. It's actually way easier from an objective view, right? Does that answer the question?
Absolutely. People love numbers. And yeah, there was, again, absolutely brilliant. People do genuinely focus on the scales a bit too much. And with you talking about muscle growth, a lot of people like to, coaches specifically, I mean, measure their clients on a fat loss phase. They never really think about doing it on a bulk, for example, because a lot of people just go, oh, good, go bulk, and accumulate a lot of fat mass. And then you say to yourself, I don't know, people have their own goals, but let's say you're going on a holiday in 3 months and you're like, going to drop all this body fat in time for that. And if I go too aggressively, I'm going to lose all the muscle mass anyway. So that's, so what's the point, right? So slow and steady wins the race, let's say. But yeah, that's everything. Like, there's so many more things I would love to ask you, but in the beginning, trying to keep it short, sweet and simple. But I just want to say a massive thank you. And if you can let people know where they can find you or contact you, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. You basically can find me only on Instagram, coach.bernardo. And well, my new company, because it's actually pretty new handle, it's fit that for the number 4 that life academy. But if you find me on coach.bernardo, it's going to be way easier and you can find everything else there.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. Yeah.
Thank you so much, man. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you found it useful, please share with a friend. They would also benefit from these talks. If you'd like to keep up with everything else I get up to, you can check out my Instagram @rich_performance_nutritionist, and feel free to drop me a message with your thoughts and feedback on this weekly chat so far. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you found it useful, please share with a friend. They would also benefit from these talks. If you'd like to keep up with everything else I get up to, you can check out my Instagram at rich_performance_nutritionist and feel free to drop me a message with your thoughts and feedback on this weekly chat so far.